Warm words of introduction. If you look at the topic, it would seem that I had seriously insulted someone in the program. This seems to be the most off-topic topic possible. Those of you who are listening on the archive might not notice it's December. This is the shortest Shabbos of the year. Most people aren't that interested whether this coming Shabbos, rather making Shabbos at 4:10, you could actually make it at 3:29. People will find Shabbos too late for them. So the question was, why, other than insulting the people who come up with the topics, how did I get stuck with this? So there are a few answers I was able to think of. One is it's a way of pointing to the godless of our YU Torah, the Marcus and Medina Katz, YUTorah.org, because even though this isn't relevant for us, the people in South Africa are really very curious about making early Shabbos at this point. More relevant, I think, though, however, is the fact that it's directly related to this week's Parsha. Actually, I've always tried to speak about the Parsha. I told them that I wanted to speak about Maaser Ksavim, Kol Asher Titen Li Aser Asrenu Lach, but they told me the Rabbi Neuberger spoke about it in February 2005, so therefore everyone was already experts in the area, so therefore I had to pick something else. So if you'll note, in the beginning of this week's Parsha, Yaakov is on his way, Baderech and Vayifka Bamakom. Rashi tells us, the Gemara actually tells us, Vayifka Bamakom, that Yaakov was Mesakein Tfilas Arvis. At that point, Yaakov instituted the Tfilah of Ma'ariv. We know that the Gemara tells us that Avram was Mesakein Shachris, Yitzhak was Mesakein Mincha, and Yaakov was Mesakein Ma'ariv. I always like to quip, if we had two more of us, we would have been Muslim. By the point to, thankfully, we stopped where we did. That actually is a machlokas in the Gemara, a relevant machlokas as to why do we have the tefillos that we do. Are the tefillos connected avos tiknum, or are the tefillos connected karbonos tiknum? Do we have daven three times, in fact, because we had three avos and each of them was masake in one? If we had more avos, we would have had more tefillos. Or is it, no, it's connected karbonos? We know that the pasuk says in the Shalmin Parmes Faseinu, that at the time that we do not have the karbonos, we daven instead. Instead of the avoda and the beis hamikdash, we have the avoda shebelev, which is tefillah. And therefore, we used to have the tamid shel shachar, which is shachar, the tamid shel bein harabayim, which is mincha. And also at night, we would do the haktorah of the evarim and the chalavim, that anything was not burnt during the day could be burnt all night. That was tefillah's mar. So there's two opinions as to why we have three tefillahs a day in the Gemara and Brachos, and according to one of the opinions, it's because of the pasuk in this week's Parsha, Vayifka Bamakom, that Yaakov, in fact, was Mesakein Tfilas Ma'ariv. There's a question, a machlokas in the Mishnah, carried over to the Gemara, what exactly is the Zman of Tfilas Ma'ariv? At what time should we be davening Ma'ariv? So if you look at the Makara sheet, number one, Mishnah, at the beginning of fourth parak of Brachos, Tfilas HaShachar Ad Chatzos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ad arba shows tefillas mincha ad ha'erev, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad plaga mincha. Tefillas arok erev ein lo kara v'shem musafim kol hayom. So focusing on mincha and ma'ariv, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan as to up until which point of the day can you daven ma'ariv. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's until plaga mincha, which we generally assume to be 10 3/4 hours shows manios into the day, or more simply, an hour and a quarter before Shkia. And the assumption is at that point, Zman Ma'ariv begins, as opposed to Rabbanon, possibly like the way we're more used to, you can daven Mincha up until Shkia, and from Mincha on, Shkia is over, we start that time the Zman of Ma'ariv. The Gemara discusses how do we paskin, and it's a very interesting answer. Tfilas Mincha ad ha'erev. Omrei Rav Chizda, Rav Yitzchak, Hasam Omer Rav Kahana, Halacha Kreb Yehuda, Hov Etznan, Bebechir Takavase. Kahana says we pass him like Rav Yehuda, that in fact you can only daven mincha until plaga mincha. Why? Because in Adius, it's quoted that way, and there's a general rule, whatever is quoted in Adius, that's how we pass him. So Hachamai, so what's we really? Ishtik, Ro Omrei Ramidi, Omer Rav Chizda, Nechzi Anan, Midrav Matri Shal Shavuz, Be'er Shavuz, He said, but wait a second, you say that that's for sure we paskin that way. In fact, it would seem to be a proof from also from the fact that we know that there was at least one case that we know of where someone used to make Shabbos early. He would daven the tefillos of Shabbos, mi ba'od yom, on erev Shabbos. Shema mina halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Adarabba, midrav huna rabbanon lo av matzah ad orta. Then again, there were people who refused to do it. So the people who refused to make early Shabbos, clearly they paskan like rabbanon. Hashad lo'imma hashad lo kamar v'lo kamar, the avid kamar avid, the avid kamar avid. So the Gemara has a very interesting answer. It says here, since we're not really sure how to paskin, do whatever you want. Something that would, some people would wonder why we don't paskin this way more often. But this is, as far as I know, the only case where we do this in Gemara, where it says, listen, since we're not really sure which way to go, the Ovid Kamar Ovid, the Ovid Kamar Ovid. If you want to follow Rabbi Yehuda, fine. If you want to follow Rabbanon, fine. We showed him have a little discussion as to what does this mean. Does this mean on a daily basis I get to choose? Is it that, well, today it's more convenient. I'm going to be davening early mincha, so therefore I can also daven early mara, but tomorrow when I need a little later, I can switch off from day to day? Or is it now that a person has to decide, am I a Rabbanan Yid or am I Rabbi Yehuda Yid? If I'm a Rabbanan Yid, so every day I can daven mincha until Shkia, but I can never daven mara before Shkia. If I'm a Rabbi Yehuda Yid, I can always daven Maariv early. However, I can never daven Mincha after Plaga Mincha. So the Rosh is a little unclear. He quotes the opinion of the Gaon. He says, "Cause of a Gaon, the man demakted the matzli arvis suro motzi ritzluye mencha ela ad Plaga Mincha. Kid Rabbi Yehuda vim ishad kid Rabbi Yehuda lesser Rabbanon vim isru Rabbanon lesser Rabbi Yehuda." He says you got to pick one or the other. If you're going to follow Rabbi Yehuda, you can't follow Rabbanon. If you're going to follow Rabbanon, you can't follow Rabbi Yehuda. Makes sense? Achein, itzoli tfilas mincha ad ha'erev su'lo romotzi ru'uk mir tfilas ha'erev plaga mincha. The efshar lasos pam k'Rabbi Yehuda, pam k'Rabbanon. So it's a little unclear what the Rosh is saying, but it seems to be, looking at the Rosh carefully, he says that you can't do pam k'Rabbi Yehuda and pam k'Rabbanon. You can't do sometimes like Rabbi Yehuda and sometimes like Rabbanon. It would seem that the Rosh is paskening that this is a decision you have to make. If every day of the week you're going to daven mincha right before Shkia, you can't wake up one day and say, okay, today I'm going to daven my mincha early in order to allow me to daven Maariv early. Right? This is obviously an important practical ramification for a different season. When it comes to the summer, so a lot of shuls make early Shabbos. In fact, I had a friend who lived on the east side who once complained to me that he was a lawyer and he had to work very hard. He used to get home. There was no such thing as a mincha maariv at shkia on the east side. Nobody. Every single minyan was an early minyan. There wasn't even an option otherwise. So most shuls daven mincha maariv as a double header during the week. Right? They call it 10 minutes before shkia, if you're lucky, is mincha. Maybe say Kapitel Tillim, maybe the rabbi runs a little Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and then we daven Maariv right afterwards. So all week long, we're going to paskin like Rabbanan. We're going to paskin that Tfilas Mincha is Ad Shkia, and Maariv begins after Shkia. How could it be suddenly on Friday, we are davening before Shkia? So even if we're Machmir, and we daven our Mincha before Plag, still, yeah, so you don't have the problem within one day, we'll discuss that, but still, at the bare minimum, you're not paskening the way you paskin the rest of the week. So according to the Rosh, this would seem to be a problem. The Rashba spells it out more. The Rashba is very clear that the Ovid Kamar Ovid, the Ovid Kamar Ovid, that you have an option. You could paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or you could paskin like Rabbanon. That's a decision a person has. I want a boy's bar mitzvah. You sit him down and you say, today you've become a man. Not paskin. Are you a Rabbi Yehuda Yid or are you a Rabbanan Yid? And then that decision you make is going to carry on for the rest of your life. If you're a Rabbi Yehuda Yid, you can make early Shabbos. However, you got to be very careful with the minchas from here on in. And if you decide that you're a Rabbanan Yid, good, you'll be able to daven the regular minchas, but you should know you're not going to be able to make early Shabbos. Right? So that's how the Rashba paskins, that the Ovid Kamar Ovid, Ovid means that you have to paskin one or the other. Your choice. Right? But you can't have it both ways. The Meiri disagrees. The Meiri discusses this opinion. And he said that's not the only logical opinion. In fact, it's not the way I hold. Looking at the Meiri in number 5. Masha kasavnu shemisof yud alaf pachos revia ad shkia sachaba mishas palbo mincha yotza mishas palbo arvis yotza. He said, I mentioned earlier on that in the last hour and a quarter, from Plaga Mincha till Shkia, technically a person could daven Mincha and be Yotzei, and technically a person could daven Marv and be Yotzei, right? Since a person has an option of passing one way or the other. Let me be clear about this. He said, but as a bare minimum, you can't do them both. Why? Manavshach. It's a classic manavshach. It's one or the other. Im yom ein laila. Vim laila ein yom. Either you're going to pass it to me that this is already nighttime, like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore you can daven Maariv, but if it's nighttime, you can't daven Mincha. Or you're going to paskin that's still daytime, like Rabbanan, so then you can't daven Maariv. But there's no logical possibility which would allow a person to daven both Mincha and Maariv in this lot. He said, well, maybe it's both. And here he quotes a possibility that some people say it's both. We have this idea by Bein HaShemashos. The famous Shita, the Ritva, and the Bein HaShemashos, from the time of Shkia till Tesa Kolchavim. So we know that there's a well-known machokas, when does the day end? Right? According to the Hasidim, the ones who care somewhat about Zmanim, they pass like Rabbeinu Tam. That really it's daytime until the stars come out. So that's why they can daven Mincha for a lot longer time. They can't daven Maariv yet. But there are people that assume that there's definitely a Shita in the Rishonim, that night begins at Tesa Kolchavim. Right? The general minog is that we assume not that way. That we assume that Shabbos begins, that night begins at Shkia, which is why we assume Shabbos begins at Shkia. A true chassid who really follows Rabbeinu Tam, and on a good week, almost an hour after candlelighting, he can still do malacha. Because as far as he's concerned, it's still day. We assume it's already night. For the end of Shabbos, we're machmir, we wait a certain amount of time until we're going to say it's over. We're not Shkia Lakula, but we definitely assume that way. So what's the story with this time between Shkia and Tzitzak Lachav and the time we call Bein HaShemashah? So they're different opinions. One of the well-known opinions and beloved opinions, unfortunately I don't think we pass in that way, is like the Ritva. It's both. It could be day, it could be night, whatever makes you happy, that's what it is. So the Meiri suggests perhaps we can have that here also. Maybe from Plaga Mincha till Shkia could also be both. It's day and night, do whatever you want. Whatever makes you happy. However, the Meiri rejects that. Venira Kadas Rishon. He says, nah, that's not it. Truth of the matter is, it's one or the other. You make up your mind. Mikom Mokom Hare Mosifin Lo Mashim Hispalabo Pam Achas Mincha Shuvu Hispalabo Aris Shavakibo Lo Biyom Vekach Behepa. Then he quotes what we quoted the Shitas of the Rashba and probably the Rush. He said, well, there are those people who say, that's it. If you daven Maariv one time during Bein HaShemashos, during between Plag and Shkia, that's it. You can never do it again. So I don't agree with that either. So it's not that you have to decide one time. So this is not what we call tarti desasri. What's a tarti desasri? The word tarti is from the word trey. Trey in Hebrew is shnei. Two, desasri from the word soser. That conflicts. It's not a matter of if I do one thing on one day and I do another thing on the other day. This isn't a conflict within my psak. Only if I do it in the same day is this a problem. But on separate days I can do it. So, fleshing out what this means practically according to the Meiri. According to Meiri, just because my shul davens mincha right before shkia every day of the week, doesn't mean that I can't make early Shabbos on Friday. It does mean that I can't make early Shabbos in the way that I'm going to daven mincha after plaga mincha and then daven maariv before shkia. That's an impossibility. In one day I can't paskin like both. Because today it's got to be one or the other. This amount of time, this hour and a quarter, shows manius, has to either be day or night. It can't be both. However, just because I do something on one day, it doesn't have to be the same the next day. Why not? So he brings a classic case. Harezek ishnei shvirin. Echad tameh v'echad tar shalachu shtei b'nei adam. Famous Mishnah in Taros. The Mishnah in Taros tells us a story that let's say you have two roads. And I know there's a dead person buried under one of the roads. I don't know which one. And one guy walks up one road and says to me, am I tummy? So he passed himself with a cooler. I tell him, you're not tummy. The second guy walks up the second road, he says, am I tummy? So Suffolk Akula, I say he's not tummy also. It's like the famous story about the rabbi, everyone knows it. Right? Two Balei Din come to him. The first one says, rabbi, he has to see, I'm right because ABC. And he says, du hast recht. And then the other one comes in, but I'm right because XYZ. He says, du hast recht. And then the wife says, they can't both be right. So du hast recht. Everybody's right. Yeah, you're also right. Right, so again, the case of the Shnei Shvilin, that in the event that these two people individually come over and ask the Shaila, am I Tamei? So since they're coming individually, the halacha for each one individually is that no, you are not Tamei, because in this case, Suffolk Lakula, and therefore we assume that you did not walk on the road that had the caver in it. What if they both come together? So that's, they both come together, you have to paskin that they're both Tamei. Why? Because it's not possible, just like if one guy had walked down both paths, obviously he'd have to be tummy, because there's a guarantee that he went over a caver at some point. So too, if two separate people at the same time do it, it's a logical impossibility for me to paskin right now that in fact they're both tahar, because I know it's not true. So too here. He says, if I do one thing on one day and I do another thing on another day, that's the Shnei Shvilim. Today I paskin one way and tomorrow I paskin the next day. And I look at the two psukim individually. However, if on one day I'm going to daven my mincha after plaga mincha and I'm going to daven my marav before shkia, that's the same as both people coming at the same time. I can't possibly say that everybody's right. It's a logical impossibility. So there's an important machlokas between the Meiri and the Rashba, as to how do we understand the Ovid Kamar Ovid, the Ovid Kamar Ovid. According to the Rashba, a person has to paskin once for his lifetime. That's it. I'm Rabbi Hudiyid, or maybe I can do Hataras Nadarim at some point if I ever want to change it. But this is not something that I can willy-nilly decide. As opposed to the Meiri, it is something I can willy-nilly decide. And every day I get up and I get to decide, am I going to go Davin Mincha this way and Marav that way, or vice versa? And that's that. It's interesting, this machlokes is very similar to a famous machlokes in Yoredeya. If you look, we just quickly noted here the Shagas Aryeh, number 7. The Shagas Aryeh comments, what kind of business is the Ovid Kamar Ovid, the Ovid Kamar Ovid? Listen, we're not really sure, whatever makes you happy is good. So the answer is, because this is a Suffolk Drabonon. Tefillah we generally assume is the Rabbanan, right? The famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Is it a mitzvah d'oraisa to daven once a day, every day, or is it a mitzvah d'oraisa only to daven in the Eis Tzara? Of Salvechik, we all agree. The question is every day in Eis Tzara? But the bottom line is nobody is going to tell you that mincha, marav, bedavka are d'oraisa. Once a day or most is. It doesn't have to be mincha, it doesn't have to be marav. Magen Avraham says women have to be up to say tchilas in the morning, right? That's, and then by doing that, then we're kind of the mitzvah d'oraisa. You don't have to dafka daven mincha or marav. So this is what we call suffik d'rabbanan. So suffik d'rabbanan is lakula. What is lakula though? Is it a bigger kula to be able to daven mincha later, and therefore you can only start marav later? Or is it a bigger kula to be able to daven marav earlier and trade off of that, give up some mincha? So it depends on the person. Some people, it's a bigger kula to be able to daven mincha later. Right? People work during the day. The afternoons gets very tight. Therefore, they can use the little extra time to daven mincha. Other people know that they like to go to sleep early. For them, it's a bigger kula that they'll be able to daven ma'ariv earlier. So therefore, they say, daven kamar avid, daven kamar avid. You decide what's the kula for you. As long as you follow one of them, suffik l'kula, you have a right to follow it. This concept of when you say Suffolk Lakula, can you decide as you go, really seems very similar to a famous Machokas in Yoredeya. The din is, when it comes to something lach balach, everyone knows if I have a big chulent and I have some milk spores in, I need it to have shishim. It has to be 60 or what in order for my chulent to remain kosher. However, in the case of yavish b'yavish, min b'mina, let's say I have three salamis, and the wrappers fell off. I was going to say chickens, but I don't want to insult anyone here from Rockland County. Right? So you have three salamis, and the wrappers fell off, and two of them are kosher, and one of them isn't. And they all look alike. So what's the din? So when it comes to yavish v'yavish, it's batul chad v'trei. As long as his majority is kosher, the majority is kosher, as long as they remain themselves and they all look alike, they're all kosher. So what does it mean they're all kosher? So the Rush has a fascinating opinion that we unfortunately don't possibly like. The Rush says the din of bittul means that in fact the non-kosher salami becomes kosher. You now have three kosher salamis in front of you. So what that means practically is what? I can take my salamis, I can blend them all together, and even I know this salami is one third treif, and I cook them together, I can eat it, because it all became kosher. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't even quote that opinion. The Shulchan Aruch quotes two other opinions, the Minya, the Rashba, and the Tosfos. One opinion says as follows: yes, they're all three kosher, but a person can't sit down and eat the three of them. Because if I sit down and eat the three of them, right, I sit down right now and I eat the three of them together, or if I cook them together, I know I'm eating treif. This is one third treif. And when they're all blended together, I need shishim. Therefore, if I would cook them together, I wouldn't be able to eat it at all. However, let's say I ate one salami today, one salami tomorrow, and another one the day afterwards. So even though I ate all three of them myself, and each of the three of them, I look at them individually, and I said, each one is batel, therefore, it's all good, I'm allowed to do it. The second opinion is no. I myself cannot eat all three of them. Even if I'm going to eat it spread out over time, you put it all together and you look at the big picture. The big picture is, I definitely ate here, Hebrew National, whatever the brand you want to choose. Frank Perdue doesn't make salami. What's a boar's head? I definitely ate a boar's head salami here. Genoa, whatever the trade brands are. Therefore, you look at it, and even though through my fancy lumdus of bittul, I was able to eat it, I ate treif. Guaranteed I ate a treif salami here. So therefore, three people could eat it, but one person can eat it even over time. So this seems to be the same machlokas. When it comes to looking at, do I look at the big picture over time, or do I look at each individual? According to Meiri, Meiri says, I look at each individual day. On this given day, right, I can't have a stira. On this given day, I can't have my mincha and my rav together. I can't pass them both ways. But if I do something one way one day and the other way the next day, so on this day I did okay, and that day I did okay. Right? Similar to the opinion that we happen to pass them like, if I eat my one salami here and one salami there, there's no relationship between the two of them. Right? As opposed to the other opinion, which says, no, I look at the bigger picture, therefore, you can't have it both ways. If there's going to be a theory, if logically there's an impossibility that you didn't do something wrong at some point, that can't remain. This concept comes up a lot, actually. Similar, not the same. The truth is, it would be very nice to say that's at least shitoso, but the problem is Rashba goes one way and one and the other way and the other. It's the Rashba who says you can eat the three salamis over 3 days. It's also the Rashba who says every day you have to pick which way you're going. So, even though it awfully sounds alike, there's probably some deeper reason why it's not. Similarly, you have the idea by the Arba Kosos. There's a Machokas in the Gemara and Pesachim as to which of the two Kosos you have to do Haseba on. Like there's a mitzvah Haseba that we have at certain parts of the Seder that you're supposed to lean. So, there's questions of when you do Haseba, when don't you do Haseba. There's an agreement in the Gemara that you do Haseba at two of the four Kosos. There's a Machokas, you do it on the first two, or you do it on the last one. Again, it's in this Ibayel Ipshito, we don't really know which one we paskin like. So the Gemara, so what do we do? We do it on all four. But Haseba by the Arba Kosos is definitely the Rabbanan. So why do we do it Safik L'Chur? Should be Safik L'Kula. You have the same idea. If you end up doing Safik L'Kula, the whole thing's going to disappear. If we did Safik L'Kula, when would we do it? We would never do it. There would be no such concept anymore of Haseba by the Kosos. So in that case, you do them all. So to here, you have the same idea. You have a Safik the Rabbanan, but you still have to keep it somehow or another. So the bottom line is we have an issue here. And this is a very practical issue. If you look at the clocks, look at the charts in the New York area, Chag HaMincha during the summer gets as late as 6:57. That's the latest it gets. Shkia gets up to around 8:30. That means that if there's a shul that davens 7 o'clock mincha, or 7:15 mincha, guaranteed it'll be wrong every single week. Right? Because there'll never be a time that you're davening mincha before plaga mincha, and there will also never be a time when you're doing marv after shkia. If you're doing marv after shkia, that wouldn't be called early Shabbos. Right? Right, but then again, if the latest is going to get is 6:57, right, at the end of June, when the days are longest, and still, at that Shabbos, you're still going to end up davening at 7. So, even if I'm going to pass like the Meiri, even if I'm going to be Mekel, and I'm going to say, okay, you know, even every other day of the week, one thing, but on this day, you know, I have a right to switch off, still, it doesn't help me at all. I've noticed that there are definitely communities that have picked up on this and are davening now earlier and moving with the plug. But there are also plenty of communities that don't, that 7 o'clock remains 7 o'clock. So is there any potential heter that we can dig up for them? Obviously, the first place you want to look is the Mishnah Berurah, and unfortunately, you're going to come up pretty empty-handed there. The Mishnah Berurah discusses this actually in three different places, and it's a little unclear. Actually, is he following the Meiri or the Rashba? But he's definitely following one or the other. At the first one, in the Reish Lama Gimel, the Olam Kachad, Pirish, Shalo Yinok Pam Kach U Pam Kach, Mashun Dahavi Tarti the Sashri, Afilu Lamacher, Mikol Shekhen Shalo Yisbal Biyom Echa Mincha Acher Plag Rabban, and Vavis Kodim Tzeis HaKachavim. So the Mishnah Berurah says, again, he says, Mikol Makom, as a bare minimum, right, something like that, he kind of really does like the opinion of the Rashba, but as a bare minimum, you should not in the same day do it. He does not see any heter for it. Similarly, number 9, Uber Plag, Mashmi Divrei Amagen Avram, Da Afilu Hanogim L'Spalav Marv Bizmanam, Mutorm L'Spalav B'Leil Shabbos Mi Be'od Yom. So he quotes that the Magen Avram specifically says that even if I daven every single day, like Rabbanan, they daven every day my mincha up until plag, and my mariv begins. I mean mincha up to shkia, and my mariv begins then. Still, for Fridays I can switch. It's not a tarti desasri within the days. Again, it sounds basically like the Meiri. Well, vachi yehemi plag mincha ve'evach. He came the mitzvah so also michol hakodesh. So you want to rely on the Magen Avraham, I'm fine. But still, on the same day, you can't have a Tati Desasri. Right? The Mishnah Berurah is saying, if you want to be Mekel, with the Magen Avraham, like the Meiri, okay, that's your minig, that's fine, we can live with that. However, you should note that it's got to be mincha before plag, marav after plag. Again, number 10, Reish Lamedei, makdim haskamas haposmim d'alkaponim, ein lo akdim yosim yiplag ha-mincha, v'im hiktim lo yotza, lo b'kriyashma v'yachosev, lo b'tvila. He says, obviously, marav can never be done before plag, and if you do that, you're not yotze marav, you're not makabal anything. Of course, you're not yotze kriyashma. So Mishnah Berurah time and time again decries this practice that some people have. It's always interesting to point out whenever you see them decrying it over and over again, that indicates what? Nobody's listening, right? If this wasn't a problem, we wouldn't be saying this over and over again. Shneur Leiman has a very fascinating piece. There are a few places in the Chumash where there's questions of the Masorah. For example, there are three different Rashis where Rashi clearly has a girsa that we don't have. We just had recently in Parshas Chayesara, Ubnei HaPilagshim. So Rashi says that the word Pilagshim is written Choser to indicate that Hagar and Keturah are really the same person. Only Pileg Shechas. Of course, if you look in Archamish, it's not written Pasuk. Right? It's a very nice drasha, but we don't have that. There are three places in the Chumash where Rashi has a drasha based on the fact that something is chaser, and in fact, it's not chaser at all. Right? More disturbing is there is a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which has a drasha, that the word karnos is written three times, and certain times, again, yesh im l'mikra, yesh im l'misora, there's a machokes as to when a word is written chaser. When we do a drasha, do we drasha the way that it's written or the way that it's read? So the Gemara in there has a certain case. We're doing the word karnos. We actually paskin based on this. And in fact, our chasers and moles are not at all the way the Gemara says. So there are tshuvas throughout the centuries. Shneur Leim has a fascinating article. He shows at least once a century since the 1200s, somebody has written a tshuva saying that we have to fix our Sifrei Torah to at least match the Gemara. In terms of the Rashi's, it's a drasha. No, so he had different, not a big deal. But at least as a bare minimum, you know, where we paskin halacha, based on the way it's written, it's got to match. And he shows that every single century, first the Rashba, then the Me'iri, and then I think the Mabit, just going through the centuries, every single century, somebody writes a tshuva saying, you got to change it. What does that prove? It proves that nobody ever changed it. In the event that they would just change it, they would stop writing the tshuvas about it. So again, whenever you see that they're decrying it over and over again, it's a pretty strong siman that the Minhag Yisrael is not that way. The fact that they have to keep on saying it. Those of you who are familiar with the Aruch HaShulchan has always been a staunch defender of the Minhag Yisrael. And this is a classic piece of his where he not only defends the Minhag Yisrael, but he also at the same time is very sharp, and beyond being also very sharp, he's very makel, which is why we love the Aruch HaShulchan. So, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan in a fascinating piece, Aruch HaShulchan takes on on this issue of Tarti the Sasri. Interesting, as I look here, I see they gave me Resh Lamed Beis instead of Resh Lamed Hay, which is the one that he discusses it on. So we're going to do this outside, just to note. So the Aruch HaShulchan has the following. First, he points out that the Minhag Yisrael has always been to daven Maariv early. Right, particularly in the time of the Rishonim, before the time of the Rishonim, before the advent of the internet and electricity, before Al Gore brought us these great things, there was no lights. So therefore, it was necessary for people to daven earlier in the day. It was dangerous to travel. It was dark outside. If they would wait until after Shkia, for sure, until after Tzeisak Kochavim, you couldn't get a minyan together. Because who'd be going out at a time like this? It was very dangerous. We know this from many areas, right? Many additions to our Maariv are in order to lengthen the Maariv somewhat, that people will all come home together. Right? Baruch Hashem Olam, Amen, Amen. According to many opinions, the reason we do this is, you know, for the people that come late, so they can skip over that, we can all go home together. Right? B'mei Madlikim. Also, it would seem to be that the reason we do this is that some people come late, Magen Avos, in order to that the people who came late shouldn't have to walk home themselves, that it's very dangerous. Therefore, we have additions to the tefillah that we'd all be able to go home together. So what most communities did is they actually daven, you see from the Rishonim, they daven Maariv during the day. Miba'od Yom, they would daven Maariv. And the Aruch HaShulchan assumes that perhaps it wasn't just Maariv, they were doing them both. It wasn't that easy to get the shulas out of the fields. What were they doing? It's hard to imagine that all these tzaddikim, the Rishonim, that they were not being mekayim the mitzvah. So the Aruch HaShulchan has a tremendously sharp piece. He says at the very beginning of the shiur, he didn't say this, but at the very beginning of the shiur we mentioned that the tefillos are connected one of two things. Either they're connected karbonos, or they're connected avos. He says, if they're connected the karbanos, it's neged ke the hekter the evarim v'chalavim. That throughout the day, people brought lots of karbanos, and part of the avod of the karbanos could be done later. A person brought a karban, so a lot of the innards, a lot of the fats had to be burnt afterwards. So they would try to get it in all during the day, but in the event that they weren't able to get it in the day, they were allowed to do it all night. And that's what we call Maariv, because Maariv is neged the hekter evarim that could have gone all night. So the Aruch HaShulchan points out that even though the Hekter Evarim could go all night, it didn't start at night. The Hekter Evarim started by day. He said probably around Chag HaMincha, when things started quieting down, you know, they started pushing through the Mizbeach, you know, everything that needed to be burnt. In the event they couldn't get it in on time, so it would go all night. But if they could get it in on time, that would be it. He said, and particularly on Erev Shabbos, Hekter Evarim is not Docha Shabbos. Any carbon that's a carbon for Shabbos is Docha Shabbos, but a carbon of Erev Shabbos is not Docha Shabbos. So specifically on Erev Shabbos, all the Hekter Evarim had to be done before Shkia. He said, so therefore, if you tell me that the tefillos are keneged the karbanos, of course the carbon could be done earlier. In fact, the Bechachil, they tried to do it earlier. So therefore, he said, the Zman of Mariv begins at Chag HaMincha. What if you tell me it's keneged the Avos? He said, so if you read this week's Pasha with a little Rashi, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Chulin, that Kiva HaShemesh, what does the word Kiva HaShemesh mean? That Kosh Baruch Hu wanted Yaakov to stop where he was, so he made the sun set early. And that says Vayifka B'makom. So when Yaakov davened in the original Marav, what was it? It was the afternoon. Now when Yaakov was Misakin Marav, he was Misakin Itaka, the first Marav was davened in the afternoon. The Shulchan says Manavshach. Whether you tell me that tefillos are keneged avos, or if you tell me that tefillos are keneged karbanos, either way it starts me b'od yom. And based on the Gemara's, he says that even though, if you look closely at the Mishnah, I read into it a little bit, but I said some things that the Mishnah didn't say. The Mishnah said that there's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan regarding what? When is man mincha? I inserted the assumption that whenever mincha ends, Maariv begins. Said, that's not true. The Aruch Shulchan assumes that even though there's a machlokas up until which point mincha ends, everybody agrees that that Maariv begins at Chag HaMincha. And according to the Sheet of Rabbanan, we assume that the time from Chag HaMincha till Shkia is both. Because just like you could have brought both karbanos at that point, but just like you could have brought the Talmud Shalmein HaRabayim, and you could have done the Hekter Evarim, so too you could have a Mincha or a Marav at that point. And it's very interesting, there seems to be some support in the Rishonim for this. If you look at Tosfos and Chav Zayin or Aleph and Brachos, so Tosfos discusses the fact that, like the Aruch HaShulchan says, that the original Marav was done Miba'od Yom. And based on that, he points out that the Ikar time to daven Marav is before Shkia. And the minug that we have nowadays is the correct minug. So it's an unbelievable chiddush that there's no such thing as Tarti D'Sasri. Because Mincha and Marav are not totally zebizeh. You only have an issue of Tarti D'Sasri if you have both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan having a machlokas by Mincha and Marav. However, if there's an agreement by Marav, then in fact, it's all good. That would seem to be a wonderful shita. It would seem to be matzik everything. And he makes it clear. He says, I'm not here to be matzik the minim. I think this is the halacha. I'm sure he felt that way. The problem is, it seems to be against everybody in all the Rishonim. For example, all the Rishonim that we quoted, that there is an issue whether Tarti D'Sasri is within one day or over several days, clearly assume that the machlokas by Mincha is also the same machlokas by Marav. In fact, if you look at the Gemara itself, the Gemara seems to indicate that. The Gemara says, we pass them like Rabbi Yehuda, or we pass them like Rabbanan. Well, let's take a look. There was a Tana who davened Marav early. So if he davened Marav early, you see he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Wait a second. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, that should prove nothing. If the whole machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is just a matter of when you daven mincha, the fact that he's davening Marav early didn't prove anything. The fact that the Gemara itself thought that this was some sort of raya That if thought the fact that he was davening Maariv indicates he couldn't daven Mincha anymore, right, that very much seems to be against the Aruch HaShulchan. So even though the Aruch HaShulchan, this is a marvelously sharp piece, and again, he works it out well, and then if anyone looks at Rishon Lamed, hey, Aleph through hey, you can see it very clearly, but he works through the piece very well, indicating that in fact this machlokas never existed. The bottom line is the Rov Rishonim and the Gemara itself. In fact, he makes note himself that he's got a problem with this Gemara. And he tries to get around it. But the bottom line is for sure, all the Rishonim quoted don't see things that way. So as much as we like the Pasuk like the Aruch HaShulchan, it's interesting. There's a Sefer up by Eliyahu Henkin. His wife is Rabbanit Henkin. He's better known as that. But he himself wrote several tshuva called the Tshuvas Bnei Banim, right? Because his grandfather was Rav Henkin. It was the posting in America before Rav Moshe Feinstein. So at in the back of one of his tshuvas, he has Ma'amorim, things he heard from his grandfather. So his grandfather said, whenever you have a machlokas between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, we paskin like the Aruch HaShulchan. Generally, that's the rule. That a lot of the older Rabbanim, again, the Aruch HaShulchan was accepted for years and years. The Mishnah Berurah only became popular in the 50s. And Rav Aaron Cutler got very into it, so then it became popular. Until then, everyone learned the Aruch HaShulchan. So generally, we paskin like the Aruch HaShulchan. And it would seem that it would be a nice Aruch HaShulchan to rely on, since so many communities are stuck with this. Unfortunately, it's a very difficult Aruch HaShulchan to rely on, because at the end of the day, if you look at the Rishonim, if you look at the Gemara itself, there clearly seems to be an assumption that there is a double machlokas here, and because you have a double machlokas, in the event someone tries this, which probably thousands upon thousands of people do in the Shabbosim of the summer, and daven both, you've got a problem with protecting the Sasri Yodori. Either your Bincha or your Maariv is being davened in a Zman that's not Ro'i Lekach. And one of them is wrong. To quote the Nefesh HaChaim, so Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, who was very opposed by the Hasidic movement. So he writes things against the Hasidim of his time. So he talks about missing Zmanim. So he said, Mashal Ma'al Dover Domeh, if the day after Chanukah I go and I light the menorah, and I'm poor and I decide to light the menorah, is it a mitzvah? I lit the menorah. No, mitzvahs have to be done in their proper zman. If you light them with the menorah on Purim, you're not mekayim anything. If you get lucky, you can get a bracha levatol in there. But in terms of actual mitzvahs, there's nothing to talk about. So too here, he says with tefillahs also. If you daven shachris bisman mincha bisman mariv. You know, it's nothing. It's like lighting the menorah on Pesach. It doesn't help you at all. So the Aruch HaShulchan is very difficult to rely on. There's one more heter out there that people talk of, which can perhaps work. The Minchas Yitzchak, we got a little piece of it here. Minchas Yitzchak, if people know, was Nifter 15 years ago. He was the head of the Eda Charedis in Yerushalayim. But prior to being the head of the Eda Charedis, he was the Rav in Manchester, England. So when he was in Manchester, Manchester, as you know, is England in general, is much further north than we are, and there's modern get a little crazier than ours do. So there are times a year where Eish Shabbos is 11 o'clock at night. It's got Milos and Chisronos. You can watch the entire Friday night baseball game before Shabbos, you know, or football, soccer, whatever they might want to watch there. On the other hand, you know, waiting up for Havdalah can be a stretch. So how do you deal with this? So even if you're going to make early Shabbos, if your starting point is 11 o'clock at night, it's not going to help you as much as you'd like. So he has a general discussion also in terms of Zmanim. I haven't been following this. There was a lot of talk last year about changing daylight savings time. Right? Are we doing this next year? So if and when that happens, I thought maybe gas prices went down, we're going to stop it. But in the event that this happens, so as it stands right now, the latest time for Nates is 7:20. Sunset gets as late as 7:20, then we move it back. If you're going to wait a few more weeks, it can get much later. It can get to 8 o'clock. And if sunrise is 8 o'clock, Alos HaShachar, the earliest time to put on Talis and Tefillin, get up to 7 o'clock or so. People who need to work, it's going to be very difficult. So you can't just daven in the middle of the night. It's the same problem. So the question, so in England they have these problems all the time. So the question is, bid the Eved, what can you rely on? So too, in this discussion, he discusses, when making early Shabbos, how low can you go? What's the best you can do for us? Understand we're a little bit in trouble here. So the Menachas Yitzchak points out that we've been kind of taking it for granted what time Plag HaMincha is. Plag HaMincha is 10 and 3 quarter shows manias. Right, the way it works is there's something called Mincha Gedola and Mincha Katana. Mincha Katana is 9.5 hours into the day. It's better to daven your Mincha during the Mincha Katana. You split it in half. That's called Plag. That's 1.25 hours to go. 10 3/4, that's what it is. Well, in general, there's a machlokes. How do you figure your Shalos Manios? Right? As we know, Sosman Kriyashma. So Sosman Kriyashma, there's the Gros Sosman Kriyashma, which we have a hard enough time with. But then, for some reason, there's a Smuggin Avram. It tends to be 36 minutes earlier. So why can't we get along? Can't we decide what time it is? So Monday night we're going to start to say the same Talmud Matar Bracha based on the important halachic date of December 4th. So people wonder, December 4th, how did that get into here? You know, it's like Yad Kislev and then December 4th. Where did December 4th become an important day? So the Gemara in Titus tells us that 60 days after the Tekufa, 60 days after the autumnal equinox, that's when we start saying it. So if you do the math, it's not even close. The autumnal equinox, all grade school students will tell you, is approximately September 21st. 60 days later is definitely not December 4th. Right? It should be around Thanksgiving time. So what's going on? So the answer is our calendar is wrong. That Pope Gregory, right, made a tikkun in the calendar. He realized that assuming that each solar year is exactly 365.25 days, moves you off by 12 minutes every year. Right, 12 minutes every year means you're off by an hour every 5 years. That means you're off by a day every 120 years. Doesn't sound like a lot, but you know, over the centuries, every 120 years you're off by another day. So at this point, we're off a significant amount of time. Right? Right, we have drifted off of the equinox. Right, so now it's December 4th, and it's going to go to 5th, 6th. You know, as the centuries go on, it's just going to keep on drifting. So the basic question is, well, if we're all so smart, and we all know when it's supposed to be, why don't we just fix it? So Rabbi Bleich has a fascinating piece where he says, you know why? Because it's the only thing we agree on. So you look around there, he said, take Yom Kippur. Not everybody agrees what you're supposed to do on Yom Kippur. Right? Right? Not everybody agrees, you know, how you're supposed to treat it, you know, different sects of Judaism, you know, you're supposed to go to shul, you're supposed to fast, what are you supposed to do on Yom Kippur? But everybody agrees when Yom Kippur is. That's the only thing we agree on. Right? Reform, Reconstructionist, Conservative, Orthodox, Modern, Ultra, Breslov, everybody agrees. Right? Everybody agrees that that's what it is. He said, if we start tampering with the calendar, forget it. Right? That's it. We'll agree on nothing at that point. So then we should all be wrong together, and then some people should be right. That's why we keep it that way. But you look at every day, so how come we can't agree on the clock? How come we can't agree on what time Sosman Kriyashma is? So the question is, when do you begin and when do you end? According to, you know, when does the day begin at sunrise, when the sun first peaks over the horizon? Or does it begin at dawn, right, when you can first see the rays coming over, what we call Alos HaShachar, or Shkia, other way around? Does the day end when the sun dips below the horizon, Shkia, when we don't see the sun anymore, but there still might be rays coming over? Or does it have to fall further until it's absolute darkness, the rays don't get it? What we call Tzeisa Kochavim. That is a famous Machokas Rishonim, Machronim, etc. Depending on that, depending on when you begin the day and when you end the day, you're going to have different hours, different Zmanim. So, that being the case, if you begin the day earlier and you end the day later, your hours are going to be longer. But, of course, you're starting from earlier. It takes you a while to catch up. So too, the Magen Avraham holds of the longer day, what we call Shitas Tosfos, and therefore his Sosman Kriyasha ends up earlier because he's starting his hours earlier. The Magen Avraham and the Gra assumes on the shorter day as we do, therefore he starts later, it goes later. So you add it all together and you end up with that there are different ways of figuring out the Zmanim. So too, there are different ways of figuring out Plag HaMincha. In fact, there are a whole bunch of ways of figuring out Plag HaMincha. Right, there's the Plag of the Lulush, and there's the Plag of Rabbeinu Tam, etc. There are a lot of different possibilities. So the Minchas Yitzchak says, you know what? because we're only dealing with the Derabbanan here. We're only dealing with whether, when the tefillah itself is Derabbanan, we're dealing with him that. He said, if you could find any plug that works for you, any sheet out there, that your mincha is on one side of it and your marv is on the other side of it, you're in business. So, that being case, obviously our problem is with davening too late. If you look at the plug of Rabbeinu Tam, it's going to be a little bit later, right? Because even though it's a longer plug, it's going to a much longer time out. So again, if you look at the calendar, many times, even the 7:15s will be saved by the plug of Rabbeinu Tam. Even though we don't rely on Rabbeinu Tam for anything, right? We're ending our Shabbos long before Rabbeinu Tam ends the Shabbos. We're starting it long before it, etc. Still, the Minchas Yitzchak has this heter that if you can just get a plug in between the two of them, you can rely on that. So the best thing to do, obviously, is if you're going to make early Shabbos, is to use the regular plug. So don't make it at 7. Make it a quarter to 7. Most of the weeks, quarter to 7 will do it for you. 15 minutes earlier. That's terrible. It's a big deal. You know, just play a little ball with this modem and you'll be able to get by. And that's the best way. However, if you find yourself in a situation where you're at a community where they're not davening the way you are, and you can't get an early mincha someplace else, one could perhaps rely on this. One final note, la halacha, Rabbi Willig has mentioned to me that he thinks it's better to daven the yechidus than to rely on this. Someone's going to a place where they're going to make 7 o'clock mincha marv, you're not going to do it. So at 5 o'clock, daven mincha yourself without a minion, and that way you're not going to have any issues with this. Any questions? Yes?
You daven by yourself, then you go to the place where they're now davening mincha. You're answering Kedusha Shmoneh Esrei. What is your status?
Jewish?
You're answering for Tefillah Tzibur, which is inconsistent with you.
No, it's not inconsistent. Again, it's I can't be davening now, but they have a right.
Let's say that.
I'm not posturing that they're wrong. I can do one way, they can do the other way. Like Ashkenaz is fine. We're very tolerant. Right, right, so I don't think anyone told you have to repeat it. I don't think that the assumption is that. It's a good point. So if someone came over to me and they asked me, okay, I did it, now what do? I'd say you're relying on the Aruch HaShulchan. That's it. I'm not going to tell you to daven over again against the Aruch HaShulchan. I don't know that he comments on that. I can't say what his opinion is. Nothing. Absolute earliest is plaga mincha. In fact, it's an issue I wanted to mention. I'll just mention it quickly. Let's say yeshiva bachim have this problem. So yeshiva bachim light candles themselves. Let's say they're in the dormitory. The problem is you can't light candles before plaga mincha. However, you're davening mincha right there. You're davening mincha then marv on opposite sides of plug. You know, once you have a marv, obviously you can't light candles either. You know, you got to be close enough that you can run home and light candles during Kabbalah Shabbos and do that afterwards, because you can't be Makabbalah Shabbos earlier. Right, that would be plagued, because if they're assuming they're being Makabbalah Shabbos. Yes?
When the synagogues, many shuls were begun many, many years ago, traveling wasn't as extensive, and the lifestyle was different. Yet when you formulate the constitution of the synagogue, in certain synagogues, it clearly states right in there that there's certainly something that can follow as a result of the community's control of an orifice. Therefore, essentially speaking, as Rav Kamenetsky was telling you, it was right for one particular time area and not be right for another. In your opinion, should it be perhaps the coming of a community we're running to take assessment of the nature of the players in terms of travelers, and yet the in the part of each building, for example, whether the Quinch of the Nine, the Rosh, the Tudor, the Ramad, the Bach, for example, reflects community standards of consideration. So my question is for example, when you have a Machloikis between, let's say, a Rosh and an Eden, what were the individual standards in terms of their affinities with their Shekhar? How do they differ? How can you study that?
I'm not a historian, so I don't really know. I don't know where either of them daven. I imagine. I think in general there is a concept out there that it sounds like Rabbi Kavetsky was referring to, that there were certain kulas that might have been necessary at some point where the community no longer needs it. A classical case is in Eretz Yisrael. There's the concept of the heter mechira. That Rav Kook, in the early 20th century, came up with this Heter Mechira, which would allow the kibbutzim to basically keep on planting during the Shemitah year. He made it clear at the point, you read the Tshuva, he says, this is a temporary measure. And in the event that the economy approves, and at the time the Yishuv was barely making it at best in terms of their financial wherewithal, so therefore, he said, listen, this is really a shasta d'chak, therefore we'll let you do it. However, he said, no, as things go on, you have to reconsider it. So too nowadays. Nowadays, agriculture is not as important as it once was to the Israeli economy. So a lot of rabbanim are saying that, you know, the heter mechira that the rabbanut relies on should go at this point. You know, times have changed. So that's true. I don't know if that affects this one way or the other. I don't know if this is relevant. Anything else? Yes.
What is the concept of the constant 36 minute difference between the log and the rock? I mean,
that's the constant.
Economically, one would think that the sun would be longer and the wind be shorter.
You're right. Technically, it shouldn't be. But there is an assumption that many people have that Alos is always 72 minutes before Nates, and that Shkia at Tzeisa Kochavim is always 72 minutes after Shkia. If that is the case, the day is always 144 minutes longer, and therefore a quarter of the day is 36 minutes, will be made up. Therefore, at 3 hours of the day, it will always be a 36-minute difference. Technically, the 72-minute Shita is shaky at best, because astronomically it's just not true. 11.1 degrees, for example, would be a much better way to go, with the 72 minutes going over 90 minutes at certain times of the year, and therefore the Magen Avraham should move as well. However, most calendars, as a matter of fact, go with the 72 for the Magen Avraham, which is why it'll always be 36 in those calendars. If you go to myzmanim.com or one of the more advanced ones, they, of course, will have ones that move. Okay? Thank you.